Now, I know you're incredibly diligent and you pay attention to all of the detail, particularly when you do those massively fulfilling and engaging tasks like buying insurance. And you pay attention to the premium and you ask the broker how much they're charging you. And then when you see a particular line item and it's not for very much money, you question it. Because if you look at your insurance policy documents, you would have seen a small charge for Sasria. Have you ever questioned, what is Sasria and why do I pay Sasria money? Well, to explain to you why you pay Sasria money is Cedric Masondo, who is the managing director of Sasria. You are a state-owned enterprise. You're one of the 700 or 800 state-owned enterprises, but we hear a lot less about you than we do about Eskom and SAA, and I suppose that's probably a good thing.
It is a good thing for us. Good evening, yeah.
I mean, you are an insurance arm of government, correct?
Yes, we're a state-owned short-term insurance company, and we only write special risk.
What does that mean? What is special risk?
So basically, it's all when there's a market failure and the market is unable to provide the type of insurance. And Sasria was formed in 1979 when insurance company didn't want to write political risk. And that's why there's Sasria. So basically, we write terrorism, political riots, labor strikes, and any service delivery protest.
So if I own a shop in downtown Joburg and I'm insured via my insurance company, and there is a service delivery protest and some people infiltrate the protest and get very cross and start throwing things, and eventually I get my windows bashed in and then my shop is looted, I go to my insurance company, they say, no. That was political risk. I then have to come to Sasria and say, Sasria, I've lost R1 million worth of stock. Can you give me some money, please?
Provided you did buy Sasria when you were buying your own insurance company. I mean, your own insurance policy. So insurance companies exclude special risk. And the only way you can have a special risk is to buy it through insurance company. So it's a very seamless process. So it's included in your policy. And that's why your normal schedule will have the Sasria premium at the end.
Is it not done automatically?
No, it is not compulsory. It's not done automatically. Your broker will obviously advise you. And in some cases, they include it automatically, but it's not automatic.
I mean, it's a small charge. It's not a vast amount of money. What is it? I mean, I recall seeing a number, and I don't know when this was. It could be 5 years ago, but it was a number like R3.75 on a car or something like that.
It hasn't changed. It's still R3.75 on a car.
I mean, and so, I mean, you operate then on a multiplicity of R3.75 times a million or whatever, and that's your income.
Yes, but that only gives us about 20% of our income. About 80% of our income come from commercial business and corporate and state-owned companies and municipalities. That contributes about 80%. And the premium there, it's not R3.70, it's a little bit more.
Okay, so as an individual, yes, I pay a much lower premium, yes, to guard against political risk. And political risk, I mean, in 1979, if we take ourselves back to what's happening in South Africa, P.W. Botha has just become Prime Minister of South Africa, has yet to declare himself Executive State President. We're about to go through an extraordinary tumultuous period in South African history of the Wimpy Bar bombings and of an uprising in South Africa. Cyril Ramaphosa is a young man who's the General Secretary of the National Union of Mine Workers, and he's bringing the country to a standstill. I mean, it was a deeply difficult time, and I suppose back in those days, the risk of something going wrong politically as a result of political violence was high.
Indeed, and it's also unpredictable and also big. So the insurance companies didn't want to take that risk, and the reinsurers were also not prepared to write that risk. So that's why there was a market failure. And the government at that time, together with the insurance association, formed this baby called Sasria. And it was a Section 21 company. No one owned Sasria. And eventually in 1999, then it became a state-owned insurance company.
And what was the reasoning behind that? I mean, why did the state feel the need? I mean, the state likes to own everything that's not nailed down. But why did the state at that particular point think it was sensible to make it a state-owned enterprise?
I guess because the state was providing the guarantee. So at that time, so a state was the reinsurer of last resort. And since Sasria was formed, it was making profit and it was not paying tax. So I think the logic was that it needed to be owned by the state.
I mean, you generally do make a profit, but last year there was a turn up for the books or turn down for the books because you actually made a loss last year for the first time ever?
Ever. And it was a cultural shock for us. We want to make profit every year, not big profit, but profit that will make us sustainable. For the first time, we made a loss, and that was mainly because of claims. So claims increased from about 800 million to about 1.5 billion in 1 year.
I mean, is that reflective then of the state of South Africa's environment? I mean, the fact that South Africa, we have every day there's a road closed because of political protests, or there's a protest action, or there's service delivery protest happening. And anecdotally, if you just listen to Aki in the mornings and Tsekho in the afternoon doing traffic reports, you get a sense that, hold on a second, but there's an awful big upsurge in politically motivated strikes and riots and stuff and protests. And this says that, you know, year on year, damage doubled, so which implies there was a big increase in activity.
Yeah, so I mean, the trend is different. So 5 years ago, we used to get about 80% of the claims from labor strikes, so company people striking. But that trend has changed. So now we get about 90% from what we call service delivery protest. And 3 years ago, it was student service fees must fall. So service protest last year was a big contributor to our claims, about 90%.
So state failure in maintaining political and social stability then is insured for by a state-owned insurance company. That's my statement. You don't need to remark on it. You'll get yourself into all kinds of trouble for that. But it's such an interesting barometer in terms of what is happening in the real world in South Africa, because this gives us the best possible opportunity of actually quantifying the consequences of a failure of service delivery, a failure to sort out jobs, a failure to provide an environment in which people have got an optimistic view of the future.
Yeah. In preparing for this interview, I looked at the claims from 2007, 2008. 2009, we had 500 claims and at the cost of 14 million. 2019, we've got 5,500 claims at the cost of 1.5 billion. It just shows you that there is something wrong in the country.
Give me those numbers again. In 2007,
we had 540 claims and the total cost was 14 million. And 10 years later, so 5,543 claims and 1.5 billion claims in terms of value.
And that's just that's the rage of communities who are feeling marginalized and left out and feeling that the only expression of political unhappiness that you can do, because going to the ballot box has done nothing for many communities over the last 25 years. They don't believe. So therefore, you throw a stone or light a match.
Yeah. And these numbers are countrywide. So it's not specific to a one province. Of course, the Natal, Western Cape and Gauteng will have more service protests, but it's countrywide. So there's no province that is not affected by these claims.
Is there a particular segment of claims? I mean, is it car damage? Is it shop looting? Is it damage to municipal buildings? What is the primary target of people who are fed up when it comes to service delivery protests?
So in terms of numbers, car damage will be the majority because they are exposed to protest. But in terms of the value, the buildings and the shops and the stock, they contribute a lot. So when people burn a building or burn a mall, And that's cost us a lot than a car windscreen claim.
We're talking about the insurance company you may never have heard of. It is called Sasria. It is a state-owned enterprise. It has been since 1999, founded in 1979 when South Africa's insurance companies, sensing the change was in the air and sensing that there was likely to be an increase in the political risk in South Africa, said, no, thank you, we're not going to insure against that. And unless you take out Sasria cover, and it's really very cost-effective, and you get yourself caught up in a service delivery protest and you get your car gets torched for argument's sake, your insurer could say, well, no, we won't pay out. But you've got Sasria cover. Oh, you don't have Sasria cover. I'm terribly sorry. We don't pay out, because in the T's and C's on your insurance policy, it says we cover you if you get rear-ended. We cover you if you lose control and bump into a tree. We'll cover you under loads of conditions, but not for political risk. How then do you define what is political risk? We'll talk about that in a bit.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield is proudly brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, bringing you relevant market insights through the Africa Financial Markets Index Report. That's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP.
So we're learning about the staggering levels of claims that are being made to SASRIA, people who suffer a loss as a result of political violence in South Africa. How do you define the difference between a politically motivated riot, a group of school children who decide they just don't want to go to school today because the Springboks are coming to town and they decide to throw some stones in order to be able to be let out of school, or whatever the case might be? How do you define what is a political disturbance in order for me to then claim it as such?
So any form of riots, whether it's the trigger is politics or service delivery or just any civil commotion, will still be paid by SASRIA. So, and whether the children or the kids are unhappy, they are throwing stones, there's been cases where this thing has been ruled. So, but that both cases will be SASRIA claims.
All right. Now, explain to me, please, the premiums, because the premiums are very, very small. How do you generate enough premium income in order to be sustainable?
So that's the job of actuaries in the office.
How many have you got?
So we've got one qualified actuary, but you also have got youngsters who are not qualified, but who work this thing. But basically, Bruce, SASRIA works as a pool company. So the concept of everyone pulling together and paying claims, it works at SASRIA. So the reason why the premium for individual is small, because the exposure is not that big. So when we calculate every year, we realize that we don't get many claims. And even if we do get claims, the values are not high. So the premium is low. So the premium, so that 450 contribute, it's paid up of our expense, our broker fees, and also the capital. So the actuaries calculate that. But when you start talking about the corporate companies, the premium is high.
And when you say high, what do you mean? Relative to a 4.50 for an individual for a car, why would a company have to pay more?
So because their values are high, so companies will have a couple of billions that we need to insure, and the exposure is high. So and that's where we get a lot of claims.
Okay. So, and companies tend to be, are they more at the receiving end of these service delivery projects?
Exactly, yes. And also, even if it's one claim for a company, we had a claim where the mall was banned. So that is a couple of millions. And if you look at your individual car, so it's not that expensive. I don't know what you're driving, Bruce. But
I told you, you'd laugh at me.
But if you look at a truck, just a horse, it's about $1 million and a trailer. So just to give an example, the Moy River claims that happened last year. So that day alone, it cost us $77 million.
And that would have been a key factor, of course, in driving you into a loss, which then says, how then do you stay sustainable? Because if you look at the sort of incremental increases, these are seismic increases in claims over a 10, 12-year period. You've got to start at some point charging a lot more in order to offset the risk that you're obliged to take on. Because Natural Treasury is telling every single state-owned enterprise executive that I've spoken to in the last 6 months that there is no more money in the kitty and we will not be bailing you out. So you can't go to government for bailouts.
They've also told us the same thing, that you're on your own. But basically, Bruce, for personal lines, there's no need to increase the premium. But for a truck, we did increase the premium because the exposure is high and we're getting a lot of claims. We've also had a marginal increase in October for those classes where we're getting claims. But I think the way we worked is that we don't penalize everyone. We only focus on those sectors or those clients that are generating more claims.
That is risk profiling at its very best then. Why push up everybody's premiums? If it's big trucks that are more at risk than individual motor cars, then that's what you do. And if protesters start targeting individual motor cars, then you'll do that. But that protesters don't tend to do that, because looking for public sympathy, of course, is at the very core of most protests.
Yes. And the bad thing about that is that sometimes the public feel the pain. So when you had the service, the fees must fall, the university had to increase the premium for the universities, because we're getting more claims and we're running that sector at a loss, a very big loss. So we had to increase it. But I'm happy that the last 2 years we've not seen increase in claims from the universities.
Which is really, hopefully you've seen a decline in claims from universities.
Much decline, almost declined by 90%.
Okay, so that's a relief at least. That sanity does prevail when it comes to those sorts of claims. What is your assessment of South Africa's social fabric based on the statistics that you see and analyze and the consequences of which you have to deal on a daily basis?
Bruce, I need to be careful here because I'm not expecting this field. But based on our numbers, we've seen an increase, and it's an increase every year. And I don't see any reason why the claims will drop. I mean, we might be lucky and not have a big claim, but I think there's going to be an increase in claim.
I mean, are you seeing an exponential rise every year as levels of frustration grow and as people get angrier, and the only time you ever get any sort of acknowledgement of your problems is if, unfortunately, you break something or burn something? I mean, suddenly people then pay attention to your plight.
So every year, in terms of numbers, we're seeing a more than 20% increase.
I mean, and yeah, I mean, it's a frightening environment in which we live. And I mean, having the state-owned entity that is Sasria, I mean, when you look at how are you planning then for the great unknown, which is the year 2020 and beyond?
So the couple of things that we need to do is make sure that we charge adequate premium. That's why the review of pricing, it's something that we do more often than we used to do. But I think, Bruce, what is more important is to make sure that we've got adequate capital. Because it's okay to make one loss this year, but your capital needs to sustain you, because if you don't have adequate capital, then you can go into liquidation.
Do you have adequate capital?
So we do. So and like all insurance companies, we are regulated by board regulators, and the PA requires that you must plan for 1 in 200 events. So we've got adequate for almost 1 in 800 year events. So we have about 6.6 billion adequate capital, but you also do buy reinsurance.
Yeah, and the reinsurance market is really interesting. I mean, it's a global industry, and insurers insure each other.
Yes.
I mean, Lloyd's is the world's oldest insurance market, and it nearly went bust when I think the Exxon Valdez, 1980s, an oil tanker, went aground in Alaska, if memory serves. My memory is fuzzy on this one. Yes. But, I mean, there were such huge claims that Lloyd's nearly went bust, and it had to then go to its members, the Lloyd's names, and claim against people all over the world that have bankrupted some families who were names of Lloyd's.
Yes. I mean, the reinsurance is quite interesting because we buy reinsurance in an open market. I mean, South Africa only contributes about 2% of our reinsurance. So it means that about 98% we have to go internationally. So you also have now the fact of terrorism in the world, where your pricing can just go up, which has got nothing to do with South Africa, just because those reinsurers have paid claims in other countries.
And that, again, once you have to start paying more for reinsurance because the global environment is populist and unsettled, that puts another pressure on premiums too.
And cost.
It's a fascinating part of the state-owned enterprise family, and it's also a very interesting part of the insurance industry. Cedric Masondo is the managing director at Sasria. A 90% drop-off in claims at universities, which is a piece of good news, but the exponential growth in claims between 2007 and 2018 in South Africa is nothing short of extraordinary. 540 claims worth 14 million rand in 2007, exploding to more than 10 times the number of claims, 5,543, and an enormous increase in the value of those claims at 1.4 billion rand. It pushed Sasria into a loss in 2018. Are you headed for a profitable 2019?
Definitely. Otherwise, I won't have a job in 2021.
He's still employed. Cedric Masondo, managing director at Sasria.